Good morning and welcome to Word for Life. Wonderful to have you this morning. Tune in and share with us this morning as we delve into God's Word, and just delightful to be back again and be a part of the program. My name is Joe Helm. I'm one of the pastors at Brookside Baptist Church, and we're going to enjoy a morning together talking about the subject of kindness. Just a few weeks ago, our church had a little summer change-up, and our Wednesday night services, we are having a special family cookout every Wednesday, and then that cookout transitions into a family devotional and prayer time. And each one of the pastors over the summer has been taking a different Wednesday night and been given a subject for a short devotional. And I was asked to do one on the subject of kindness. And at first I was thinking, oh my, that should be a relatively easy subject to research and to prepare. But boy, did I get a surprise when I opened up my concordance and found that there was 48 references to the word kindness in the Bible and 36 references to the word kind. And so when you look at the numerous different original words in the Hebrew and Greek, both the Old Testament and the New, you quickly realize there are many, many facets to this biblical concept of kindness. In fact, in our English versions, we find numbers of words used to communicate this concept of kindness. There's the word goodness and gentleness and tenderness and favor. The words compassion and mercy, pity, love and grace, and even the concept of righteousness. So the bottom line I found out real quick is the concept of kindness covers a very broad range of meaning. But what was encouraging is that the starting point is very clear and precise. The starting point for kindness is God Himself, because it is from His very nature that we find this quality, this attribute, this characteristic. This is a repeatedly proclaimed truth in all of Scripture. And for that, every single one of us ought to be profoundly thankful that God is kind. In fact, first of all, God's kindness is often declared and manifested in what is called common grace. That is, God is kind to all that He has made. Psalm 145:9 says, "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." And you know what? Amazingly, this is true of God even when His creatures are ungrateful and sinful. I found this fascinating. Listen to the words of Jesus Himself speaking in Luke 6, verses 35 through 36. Jesus said to His disciples, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the Highest, for He that is God is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." Therefore, Jesus said, "Be merciful as your Father also is merciful." Mercy here is the outward expression of the inward heart of kindness, which is part of God's nature, even to those that may be unthankful and undeserving and sinful, which really pretty much is all of us. And at least one of the reasons for God's kindness to His entire creation is told to us in Romans 2, verse 4. Paul said, "Or despise thou the riches of His goodness and the forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness that is the kindness of God leads thee to repentance?" Yeah, God's longing, the longing of God's heart is for man to return to the shepherd and bishop of his soul. And so He desires, and His kindness is designed to lead us to repentance. So this matter of kindness is part of God's very nature. It's an expression of His heart. It is the reflection of His character. It is one of the primary motivations from which flows all the varying ways that He deals with and interacts with His entire creation. It's marvelous. Secondly, we must understand where kindness begins. It begins in the heart. Kindness must be rooted and grounded in my heart, in my spirit, in my inner man. It must be the controlling element, the influencing and the controlling force of my attitudes, my temperament, my disposition, my words, and my actions. In fact, the Scripture says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." And Proverbs tells us to guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The very life that we live flows from our deepest heart. So then, genuine expressions of godly kindness, that is biblical kindness, whether in our words or our actions, must originate from our heart to be real, from our inner man. But therein lies a problem and a challenge. In God, kindness is an attribute. It's part of his nature. But in man, who was first created in God's image, man lost essentially that image in the fall. It got so bad in just a few years that God concluded that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Wow. Paul chimes in on this one and reminds us in Romans 7, as he's describing the struggle with his own flesh, that in me, that is in my flesh, he says, in my heart, dwells no good thing. Well, praise God, there is good news. He has a solution to this problem. He said in Ezekiel, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. In other words, God's solution is a reboot of my heart. We, of course, call this regeneration, being born again, quickened, made alive spiritually, given a new nature by which we begin to take on and be transformed by the Spirit of God into the very image of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I grow, as my mind and heart are renewed in truth, as I'm filled with the knowledge of God's will, my heart, my desires, my longings are changed. I no longer hunger and thirst for the sin and corruption of this world. Now, rather, as a new creature in Christ, all things have become new, we're told. And now I am to be hungering and thirsting after righteousness, after the pure milk of the Word, that this new nature may grow. Paul describes it as putting off the old man and being renewed in the spirit of my mind, putting on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Folks, kindness is an essential component of righteousness and holiness. It's the outworking of these things in our life. Paul says kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. Kindness is an evidence of the presence of God in me and his influence and control over me. When I speak words that are not controlled by a spirit of kindness, I am just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, 1 Corinthians 13 tells me. I'm just vomiting out corrupt and putrid communication. That is, things that are harsh and critical and demeaning and hurtful, cutting, even angry and out of control. And Paul says, my brethren, these things ought not to be so. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but rather that which is good, that which is kind, and that which builds up, that it may minister grace to the hearer, kindness to the hearer. Paul said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, but rather be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Wow. Every believer must understand, it must be overwhelmingly clear to every one of us that this is not just a suggestion. This is not just a good idea, or this is not just God's recommendation. Hey, let me suggest this to you. You might want to try this week. No, folks. This is the command of God, our Savior. Yeah, in the original language, this is a command. It's an imperative verb, it's called. Paul says, be ye kind. Be ye tender-hearted to one another. In fact, then, transferring over to Colossians, Paul said to the Colossian believers, as God's chosen people, and again, here it's in the imperative, in the command, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I don't know about you, but those are convicting words. Because I, as God's servant, I, as God's child, I am to be obeying the commands of God, my Savior. And he has told me, be kind, be tender-hearted to one another. He has told me, as his chosen people, to clothe myself with kindness, humility, gentleness. In fact, Jesus said to his disciples, in imperative mood again, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, Jesus said. Mercy is a demonstration of a heart of kindness. And so what Jesus said to them, hey guys, you better go figure this out, because I want kindness before I want your worship. Bringing glory to God means that in all our ways, that is, in all our attitudes, in all our words, in all of our actions, we are giving those around us the right opinion of God. In other words, we are an accurate representative on earth of our Father, which is in heaven. When people listen to our words, when they see our actions, when they see our attitudes displayed, are those attitudes, words, and actions displaying the right character of God? That's a pretty convicting question. And so here's another pretty obvious question for myself. Have my attitudes, have my words, have my actions today, yesterday, this week, this month, this year, been filled with the Spirit? Have they been seasoned with grace and kindness? Have they genuinely and accurately portrayed the grace and kindness of God, my Savior, to those around me? Do those that I live with, those that I work with, those that I worship with, do they see Jesus in me? From the youngest among us to the oldest among us, we must understand that if we profess to be saved, that is, we profess to be born again, that is, we profess to know Christ as our Lord and Savior. We profess to be God's children. We profess to have been delivered out of darkness into His marvelous light. Then our lives should actually show it. We should be growing in the fruit of the Spirit, and therefore growing in kindness. And not only to one another in our local assembly, not only to one another in our homes, not only to one another in our care groups or even on the job or wherever it might be, but actually, there is some respects more important to those actually that are out there in our day-to-day world that have yet to know the grace of God in salvation. They're continuing to walk in darkness. And what they need is an accurate, authentic witness of the love and the grace and the kindness of God, our Savior. And seeing Him in us, God might be able to use us as a part of that process of drawing them to the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, our Savior. Well, I hope these thoughts about kindness, gentleness, and tenderness have touched your heart today in a way that would cause you to renew your commitment to the Lord, to be working in your heart to transform you into the image of Christ, our Lord. And so I trust that you'll have a wonderful week. And come visit us sometime at Brookside Baptist Church. Go to our website at www.brooksidebc.org, and you'll find all kinds of helpful information there. So good day. God bless you.